to another episode of the Pop Grapples Podcast. Today we talk McDavid, Giroux, Voracek, Guest Laugh, Perry, who's last by Christmas, and who is Washington's number one centerman. Let's do this.
LA Hockey.
Hey, how you doing, Carl?
Good. How's it going, Sans?
It's going good. Going real well.
So, that McDavid kid's pretty good.
He's all right, yeah.
He's got some wheels.
Yeah, he really does. Real quick to get there, too, right? Like, just a couple of strides and he's gone.
What I like about his game right now is that he's sort of going for it. Everything's a little bit different from the first few games when he entered the league.
Yeah.
He seems to be using space a lot better. He seems to find space a little bit easier. He's using his speed.
I think finding space for sure, yeah.
Because I think there's something there where he's always open. He's always open. And there's no way this kid should be open. But I guess it's one of those things where, yeah, you try to check him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's certainly not flying under the radar, right? Like, he's on every coach's game plan. You know, that's what they're practicing for. That's what's, you know, being,
do you think they're doing that already?
I
think they're just
room.
Starting to do that. I don't think they've done that the whole time.
No, but I think probably the last couple of weeks, you know. I mean,
we're a month into
the season now, so yeah.
It's pretty impressive for an 18-year-old to be able to do what he's doing in the league with men and pros at that. It's one thing to say, oh, Matthews is playing with men. This guy's playing with pros.
And, you know, I mean, he's been phenomenal. Look, he's been phenomenal. He's a step above, you know, everyone else, every other rookie, everyone his age. But this is a phenomenal, like, rookie class. It's really good.
That's right.
There's a lot of really great
young Domi
players
kid
out there right now. This could end up being one of the better rookie classes in years.
This will rival the 2003, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, you got to mix, you know, it's a little bit of a mix with the draft, right? Because that 2003, there were so many great players in that draft. Now you've got, you know, Domi, Larkin. There's a lot of other players that were drafted last year. So it is a bit of a mix between this year and last year's draft class. But the rookie class, the players that are playing are fantastic. So much fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I find interesting about McDavid, too? Is that nobody is gunning for him. Nobody is trying to just take him out. And I wonder how much of that is due to the fact that the players are now in this revenue-sharing type of scheme where they see McDavid as sort of like a golden goose where, you know, he's money to their own pocket, like lining their own pockets. Because, you know, every jersey sold, everything is going partly in every single player's pocket in some way, right? Especially when it comes to escrow. And the other one, I just wonder if it's because he's just a really nice kid. Because he hasn't been, you know, the nicest player on the ice at all times. He did hit someone from behind and nobody went after him. Nobody.
Yeah,
you know, Oduya from behind. Nobody went after him. Absolutely. No one even looked in his direction.
It's interesting you say that because I watch Larkin and people are gunning for him all the time, like his head.
That's
like
right. So why are they?
They're going after him in the corners. Anytime he's in front of the goalie, they're just, he's taking a beating. I don't know.
So what's going on with, is it must be the revenue sharing thing.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe everyone's just, I mean, look, it's not so much that they bought into it because he is as good as advertised, and he will very soon, within
be the face of the entire NHL.
Yeah, and he'll be the best player in the game in another year or two, probably, right? So, like you said, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe just everyone is, there's that ultimate respect. This guy can play hockey. He's phenomenal. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, that'll all change once the Edmonton Oilers get into the playoffs. You know, I mean, we are only 11 games into his career. And so once this kid gets in the playoffs, it'll be a whole different story. People will go after him. They will not
Yeah, playoff time. Let's wait till playoffs. I agree. Yeah. Let's wait for that. You know what else is interesting too? He doesn't complain.
Nope.
He's not yelling at any ref.
No, he probably watched 24/7, the very original one with Crosby, and he's like, I'm not going to do that.
Even that goal that was a goal on quick that didn't count.
Yeah, that was...
Did you see that? He didn't say... He just said, it's in, and then he walked away.
Yeah, well, I guess when you know you're going to score like 600 more of them, that's probably...
but not game winners on like day three of your career, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you're right. He didn't freak out about that, right? It was... And it was a huge goal, right? They would have tied it up.
It was a game winner. Oh, it was a tied up. Sorry, yeah, you're right. They were tied up.
I think there was what, like 4 or 5 seconds left.
It was the game. It was a point at least.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if it was that much time, but it was right down to the end of the game. So and sneaky play there. I mean, if we're going to talk about that, like we should give credit to the wily old veteran there, because you know that was a sneaky nice little glove by Quick there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was
for
a goal. Sure. I think most people would say it was a goal.
It was a goal, but it's not a goal there, because you can't prove it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the ref didn't see it, nor could he see it. And it was just, it's a goal only by using your deductive reasoning that you've learned as a child. Like, it wasn't exactly. Like, you didn't actually see it go past the line.
Yeah.
You just said, well, the puck goes here, therefore it hits the bottom part of his glove. The bottom part of his glove is in the net. But I mean, that's just speculation. You can't count speculation in when it comes to judgment, right?
Yeah, and speaking of that, like also with the with these calls, they've really, really, really cracked down on the goalie interference, haven't they?
But then again, so many of them are going by.
Oh you mean like? Are you still a little? Like it's still inconsistent, or
I think it's definitely inconsistent.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want it to go back to the foot in the crease, Brett Hall style, costing the Buffalo Sabres and Buffalo Nation as a whole their first championship and probably forever.
Yeah.
But I think there has to be some type of ruling when it comes to actually making contact with a goalie who's in the crease.
Yeah, because we saw that today, right? We saw today in the Edmonton-Calgary game, Edmonton had a goal called back. And then
that's right. There was a stick to the goalie's head.
Yeah. And then they scored another one. And I think Bob Hartley, right? Calgary Flames coach challenged that as well.
Yeah. I'd like to see some type of guidelines. Right now, what's the rule? The rule is you make contact and it impedes the movement of the goalie. Therefore, the goal does not count.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, there seems to be a lot of gray area in that rule.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few calls that have sort of thrown me for a loop. And it just seems like, it seems like any contact at all, even the slightest bit, is getting called back.
Are you against that, though?
It depends. It depends on where the goalie is.
In the blue paint.
Yeah, when the goalie's in the blue paint, fully in the blue paint, go for it. When they're on top of the crease and they're hunched over and they're actually that top part of the body is over that line and they're outside of the blue paint, then that's just an equal, you know, the player should be allowed to fight for that space, that area of the ice equally.
Outside the blue paint, including his butt. Cool, his butt's outside the blue paint, though.
But what I'm saying is when a goalie's skates are in the blue and they're sort of leaning over, like most of them do, because they don't just stand straight up, to me, I don't know, that's really hard to call. I mean, it gets really hard to call.
He's in the blue paint, though. That's what in the blue paint means.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I don't find it hasn't really slowed down the game, right? Like, there's been a lot of goals reviewed. Oh, there's been quite a few.
I'm all for getting things right. I'm all for getting things right.
Yeah, so it's okay. I don't mind. I think I was a little worried over the summer hearing that it's, you know, we're going to get this NFL style slowing down the game. And I don't feel like it's done that yet. Which is great.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that part of the instant replay has been, I think has been seamless. It hasn't been any kind of major, major delay. And in the end, I think every single person who watches a game just wants that goal to count. The worst, though, is if it becomes inconclusive and therefore the call on the ice stands. You know what I mean? Therefore, we just wasted our time because the view replay was inconclusive.
Right.
And that's where people are going to come up with a bit of a hoopla against.
Yeah, them. And that's bound to happen, right? I mean, we're 11 games in, 12 games in for some teams.
You know, what about getting that thing that they have in soccer right now? What is it, like an in-the-puck sensor?
Yeah, that like goal line technology.
Where as soon as it goes, that's right, goal line technology in soccer, where it goes over the net or it goes over the line. Like recently, there was in soccer, a goal that counted was like literally under 10 centimeters outside the line or inside the line.
Right, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that kind of thing exists. Think they have to look Why don't they just do it?
Because also, wasn't that McDavid goal that we were just talking about? Didn't they say, like, I remember seeing someone on Twitter like saying that they didn't have the equipment in place in the Rexall Center? Like, I didn't know if that was just a rumor or people kind of taking the piss online, but I seem to remember hearing that from somebody with quite a good reputation.
What kind of equipment were you talking about?
I like that goal line technology that they should have, like the cameras. There was something wrong with the rink that they didn't actually have the equipment.
But they don't have what they could have. Like they don't have
maybe
little
that's
GoPros.
What it was. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, they don't have little GoPros on the posts, you know, looking down at the line. They've got this overhead that's not actually overhead. It's actually on an angle.
Yeah.
Because if it were overhead, all you'd see is posts, and you wouldn't see the actual line.
Yeah, you can't see that. Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, they just need some better camera angles. They have the technology. Get on with it.
NHL. Yeah, they got to do it. And don't they also have that in tennis, right?
Like, sure. I
don't watch a lot of tennis, but you know, everyone sort of tunes into Wimbledon. Those big Grand Slams. And don't they have that technology too to sort of track the ball to make sure it's in or out?
It's there. So why? Just get on it.
Yeah, yeah. They should. They got it.
I got a few questions for you today.
Okay.
They're more like what ifs type of questions or sort of like predicting the future type of questions. Question number one that I have for you is who gets more points? And I've got a couple people I would like you to compare. And I want you to take sort of like a guess on who will end up by game 82.
Okay.
With more points. Number one is Crosby or McDavid. By game 82. Who gets more points?
McDavid's got what? He's got 12 and 12, so he's on pace.
Crosby's hurting right now, but we all know that this is temporary, right? He should get back on track. Yeah. Although, some people are saying, what, that he's sort of lost a step?
I've been hearing that, listening to other podcasts, reading a bit. Some people are concerned that he's sort of lost that...
that explosiveness that Crosby
that he's been known for his entire career.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't either. I mean, I don't know. But it's interesting that like Pascal Dupuy comes back and then he suddenly gets like two. Didn't he have like 2 or 3 points in that game? So I think Dupuy is a bit of a Crosby whisperer. You know, he has
as
had
Kunitz was,
and Kunitz was there for a while, but he's
gone. Hasn't been he's great. He's not even playing on the top two lines.
Yeah, yeah. And so you got to figure that Crosby's going to get it together and score more.
So basically the question is, do you think Crosby can go back to being Crosby? And do you think McDavid could keep this up? That's basically the question, right?
Well, I think to your point earlier that no one's really gunning for McDavid. I mean, we'll see. I mean, as I said, I mean, when they get in the playoffs, probably not this year, but it looks like they're going to get there, right? They've been a pretty good team this year. Much, much, much improved. They've been a lot of fun to watch. I'm enjoying watching them play. I think most people are.
Oh, yeah.
This kid is phenomenal, as you've said.
Wait till Eberle comes back.
But, yeah, I mean, he's not going to go unnoticed for 82 games. He's an incredible, incredible talent. But, you know, guys are going to start getting on him a bit more. So,
and that's a good point also. Like, you're talking about the playoffs. The playoff race is going to start fairly early this year. There's a lot of teams in the hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There's a lot of teams that are pretty close up to each other. Yeah. So, I mean, now you're going to be talking about getting points on, you know, not really a playoff hunt, but pretty soon you're going to start getting some
tight checking games. Yeah,
exactly. Some games that weigh a lot.
Yeah, and you might start getting some nasty games too. Like, you know, playing Calgary is great.
Blues,
practice.
Just play the Blues. That's all you got to do is play the Blues.
Yeah, exactly.
And my Lord, that team.
Yeah.
Team is the new Boston Bruins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They get nasty real quick. So, you know, that Battle of Alberta is good practice now for disrespect to the history of that because it's amazing. But recently,
Calgary's not exactly a rough and tumble tumble team anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's not that nasty right now. But that is good practice for, like you said, for the Blues. Maybe the for the Blues Predators, are for the so Kings.
Scary, man. The Blues, they rip you apart every single day.
Yeah.
It must destroy you. I remember watching recently, Montreal played the Blues at the beginning of the year. All you saw on the bench in Montreal did win that game, but all you saw was just the coach basically massaging every single player coming off the ice. He was just like getting the shoulder going, getting the back going. Semin was just in shambles. Man. Yeah. He had three different parts. Some guy was massaging at the same time. Yeah, it was just the ridiculous. Trainers were
lifting their leg to get over the board. Yeah,
it was just ridiculous.
Yeah,
and it was. You just saw every hit counted.
Yeah. That's the thing. So, like you said,
check counted.
Edmonton's not going to be out of the playoffs by, late December, January, like they have been, unfortunately. So he's going to be playing some pretty big games, tight checking games, some rough games.
They're playing fun hockey and they're a great, they're a great watch, but they're playing 250 hockey. They're not even close to 500.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of improvement obviously to go. There's a long way to go. I got to go with Crosby. I think he's going to get it together. He's a pro. He's a Stanley Cup winner, gold medals, playoffs.
Pick it up.
You got to go with Crosby, I think.
Okay, so then does McDavid get a point a game by the end of the year? 82 points?
I think he gets pretty damn close to it. Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, I'd expect at least.
At this point, I'm going with you. This guy's a point a game at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you asked me at the beginning of the year, he was a 60 point getter.
Yeah, I would have said like between 60, 70. Now it's probably like at least 70, I'm thinking.
Yes, 70 seems to be the lower half. Question number two on who gets the most points. I have a combo here. Getzlaf and Perry or Giroux Voracek.
What are Getzlaf and Perry at right now? Do they have?
I think they have 4 points
total. Combined.
Getzlaf is injured right now, but it's a temporary injury. He had an appendectomy,
right?
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. I think Patrick came back after 2 hours off that surgery. The guy's insane.
Two hours? I guess, did he even take his skates off?
I don't think he took his skates off. I think he was just in mid-practice. Like, I got an appendix here. I think it's going to burst. Can you get this thing out so I can go back and shoot pucks?
Yeah.
But Getzlaf is taking 2 weeks off. But still, Getzlaf and Perry have done next to nil. And this is not the first time in their career they've done nothing.
Yeah, well,
they did this a couple years ago.
It's not playoffs right now, so this is sort of surprising. looking at that team right now, 1-7-2, they played 10 games, they have 4 points, 1 win. They have been shut out 5 times, and they've scored 1 goal.
Not
three
because
times.
Of their goalie. Nothing is because of their goalie.
No, he's been actually pretty good. But
they're minus 17.
Yeah, but what that means is that 80% of the time they have scored 1 goal or less. 80% of the time. Granted, it's only 8 games.
You don't win goals. You don't win games 1-0.
Brutal. I got to go with Giroux Voracek. Voracek's in a slump, but he's got 3 points. That's almost as much as Getzlaf Perry combined. They're going to get it going. They're going to get rolling.
So you're going Giroux Voracek over Getzlaf Perry.
Yeah. They're also just infinitely.
So you're going like, what is, I don't know what their salary is exactly right now, but it's about, you're going for like a $12 million over a $22 million salary cap.
I'm actually just going for two players that I like more than two other players.
You can't do that. You can't go.
Who has the better mascot? Let's do that.
I watch an Anaheim game with you, I will say this, and you're right about this, and you always do this. You go leadership.
Oh, every time they're in the
and every
box?
Time you say that, Getzlaf is in the box.
Yeah, it's there. I mean, look, awesome player. They're fantastic. I don't think they're very well liked, but a lot of players aren't very well liked. And usually the best players in the league, in the world, aren't very well liked outside of their fan bases. So, that's just all credit to them, I think. But this year, you got to figure Anaheim's going to get it together eventually. But to your point, Getzlaf's still going to be out for a little while. So I'll go Giroux Voracek. Those should be point-of-game players as well. They're well off that pace right now, but we'll see. I think they'll get it together.
That means Boudreaux's gone then for you.
Wow, I don't know. Who are they playing next? I don't know who they're playing next. But
doesn't matter, because this was a question. Who are they playing next was 2 weeks ago. That question was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Nashville, they have Florida, done that already. Columbus, San Jose, Arizona coming up. So they got to win a couple of those games, at least. And they got to get it together, man.
I feel for you, Boudreaux. I feel for you. Next up, next question. And this isn't a points question. This is a who ends up as Washington's first-line centerman by game 82? Because something is going on in Washington. It's actually very, very good for Washington fans. It's actually very, very good for the Capitals themselves. They're spreading the wealth, and it's actually working out. I'm wondering what you believe is going to end up happening by game 82.
Yeah, well, let's see. Backstrom has played 7 games.
The dude is a rock star. He's a rock star.
Yeah, he's played. I think he had 3 points in his very first game back. So he's got 8 points in 7 games.
Yeah.
Kuznetsov, on the other hand, has... What tons. Is he at? He's got like 13, 14 points, doesn't he?
He had a hat trick.
He had a hat trick the other day, last week. Kuznetsov has...
Did you see that overtime goal he just scored?
Yeah, that was
ridiculous.
Sweet. Yeah, so he's got 5 goals, 8 assists. He has 13 points in 10 games. I mean, this guy is a young player. He's a player that they've been high on for a couple of years now, but he's only 23. Yeah. This is his, you know, he had about 17, 18 games, I think, 2013-14. Last year, he broke out a bit, 37 points. And this year, he's exactly what they probably thought he was going to be.
Of course, he's being winged by Oshie and Ovechkin, which really helps his cause.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt to play.
Is this what they're looking for? Do you think Washington will run with this all the way through?
I think they'll run with it as long as those guys are producing. Sure, why not? But as soon as he goes,
well, you know Ovechkin will produce no matter what.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's going to keep it rolling for sure. So you got to figure that bodes well for Kuznetsov, right? And Oshie as well, because Oshie's sort of that player that's always been. He's one of those guys. He's kind of like a Valtteri Filppula when he was on Detroit, where it's like, man, you really should be scoring a bit more than you are.
You've got the skills, but you ain't producing. Yeah, and he is this year.
Yeah, and he
is on his own a little bit. You see, they're throwing passes at him like in front, because he's always in front of the net. Oshie, yeah, for some reason, is always in front of the net. And he's getting these passes in his skates, he's getting these passes off his heel, but he's bringing them up and he's putting them in.
Yeah. That was a sweet goal they scored the other day, that 3-on-1. God, who was that against? I can't remember. Watched so much hockey this weekend. But they, yeah, he scored one of the game winners the other day. He's producing now. Like you said, playing with Ovi, that helps. Playing with Kuznetsov, that helps. But he's got 8 points in 10 games. Oshie, 4-4. So
I think you
run with it as long as you go. But
so game 82, who's going into the playoffs? Kuznetsov or Backstrom as the number one seed? Oh, you're not sure.
That's a really tough one. That's a lot harder than the other two you asked. I'll say Backstrom.
So you think Kuznetsov will falter?
I don't know if he'll falter. I just think I think Backstrom will just, you know, do what he does and continue to be a phenomenal hockey player. And by the time the playoffs come around and rolling into the playoffs, that's the guy you want as your number one center.
But if they're spreading the wealth... Right, yeah. That's the only caveat to this question is how much of it is Backstrom is definitely the better player. We're not going to go there.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, for sure.
You know what I mean? But will he be centering Ovi and Oshie, or will he be?
Yeah,
you know, the double.
I mean, you don't want to mess with that chemistry. Right now, everything is working and working really well for them.
And Ovechkin's just beaming Kuznetsov. I don't know if you saw that interview that Kuznetsov was doing, and Oshie in the background just screaming out, like, you know, making fun of his English, basically.
Yeah.
Ovi was making fun of Kuznetsov's English, which was hilarious.
Do you think TJ Oshie gives Ovechkin pointers in the shootout?
I don't think Ovechkin should take shootouts.
No, I'm just thinking from 2014, right?
Ovechkin is like, in that sense, Ovechkin is like, yeah, I agree with you. But I mean, in that sense, Ovechkin is like Crosby.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ovechkin. Ovechkin is like Gretzky.
Yeah.
Just don't take the shootout. Just don't go there.
Oh, did that's you just say Crosby? Oh, you said Crosby, but I did. That's funny. I was actually thinking Gretzky.
I meant Gretzky.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'll go Backstrom.
Okay.
I'll go with the veteran there.
I just think the temptation of keeping them apart and allowing two full lines of, you know, of power going through is probably going to take over.
It does make sense. Yeah.
Definitely Backstrom is the better player. Here's my next question. Who has the most wins by Christmas? Not by game 82, by Christmas. So this is before the actual playoff push. I'm going to give you three teams. Who has the most wins between CBJ, so Columbus,
oh, you're going Arizona. Bottom. I thought you were going top. Okay.
No, I'm going bottom. CBJ, because this is as important as anything else. The top, who cares? Yeah. Because we're talking about Austin Matthews.
Oh, my God. If Austin Matthews ends up on Columbus.
He's tearing it up right now.
Yeah.
CBJ, Arizona, or the Leafs?
By the Christmas. The most wins by Christmas?
And the least wins.
CBJ, the Leafs, or Anaheim?
No. CBJ, Arizona, or the Leafs.
Oh, Arizona right now.
The Anaheim's going to pick it up. They're out. CBJ, Arizona, or the Leafs.
Oh, Arizona.
The most wins.
They'll have the most wins by Christmas.
So you think they can keep this up a little bit?
We're not talking playoffs. But they, you know, I mean, they're scoring. They got 30 goals in 11
games. Mike Smith's doing well.
Yeah, they're playing pretty well.
Okay, so then between CBJ and Leafs, which one is the worst by Christmas?
I'd hate to say it, but I think maybe Columbus.
Oh, Torts.
Yeah, I just, you look at, like, you know, I mean, you look at those enhanced stats, NHL.com, call it whatever you want. I know there's like a million different names because we made this switch to NHL.com. But when you look at the possession numbers, the shot attempts, Toronto's third best in the league.
They've won one game.
They've won one game. Right, and look, they did not look good today at all. And they haven't looked good in some of their games. But there's improvement there. CBJ, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what the leadership is like on that team. I don't know if Ryan Johansson is fully
developed.
Like, he seems kind of checked out to me a little bit.
Well, how much of that is injury? How much of that is actually playing Columbus?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, they're like 25th or 26th. You know, their possession numbers are not good. You know that Mike Babcock is a better coach than Tortorella.
Mike Babcock is becoming a better coach by what Detroit is doing than what Toronto is actually doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane to say, but Mike Babcock, when you look at what's happening in Detroit right now,
yeah,
because Detroit is a playoff team, right?
Well,
on paper, Detroit's a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, that's right? What's frustrating too is they, you know, whatever's going on, they're just not, you know, they're getting it together a little bit, but long way to go still, yeah.
And it goes more along the lines of showing that Babcock is this amazing coach that brought this team to the playoffs perhaps one of those years. Out of those 20 semi-years that Detroit was in, one of those was because Babcock worked his magic.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now, right? It's just like, and that's what's unbelievable about what's happening in Detroit, but also what could happen in Toronto. Babcock does have some magic.
Yeah, and there was, Travis Yost of TSN wrote an article saying that, the Babcock effect, and just everything that you said is what he said, and he was showing the numbers. And for Detroit, this is historically bad right now. They haven't been this bad in literally like two decades.
What is going on with Detroit right now? Is it defense?
Well, I don't know, but I was just going to say, so many Detroit fans I saw, you know, all over the message boards and in the SB Nation blogs and all that. So many people were so upset, and I was totally fine with it. I just looked at it and I was like, yeah, like that's what's wrong with that?
But you've been ready for this for the past 3 years. You've been talking to me about this happening in the past.
Yeah,
three
well,
years.
they don't have a defense, so I'm not surprised. They still haven't gone out and really taken care of that problem. But it's interesting, like Detroit's 27. Do you know who the 27th or 26th team is? Montreal, and they're 10-2. You know, like they're not a great puck possession team either.
Oh, puck possession team.
Like, I mean,
well, they have this guy in Nets. I don't know if you've met him, but this guy's called Carey Jesus Price.
Yeah, I heard about him. I heard he's okay, having a pretty good year.
He seems to be doing well in Nets.
Yeah, but
not the past few games. Forget the Western swing.
Yeah, I mean, what was it like? 9 goals the first, 8 or 9 games, and then it was 9 goals like the last 2 games or something like that. Yeah. Well, and he just can't be perfect every night. I mean, he is pretty damn perfect almost every night, and you just can't be every night. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Back to that original thing. I don't know what's going on with Detroit. I think they're slowly getting it back together. Toronto is a better coach team. They don't have a better team because you look at the roster in Toronto, you look at the roster in Columbus. There's quite a big difference there.
Do you think Toronto should go after Dallas's goaltending? Do you think Lettinen would be a much, much better goaltender than what they have right now?
I don't think so. Not yet. What's the point? You know, the guys that you want to get better are getting better. Guys like Kadri, Van Riemsdyk, like they're becoming more complete players. That's what you need.
Because there's no other goaltending out there.
Yeah, there isn't any other goaltending
apart from Dallas. And there's nothing going on. There's no backup that right now. All the backups are gone. Jones is gone. They're all gone. There's nothing left in the NHL when it comes to a saving grace goaltender, when it comes to backup goaltender.
Yeah, and even in Calgary, I mean, they waived.
Oh, they're Romo, all gone. All three. Came back up just today, move right? on.
Yeah.
Calgary. They are worse off in terms of goaltending than any other. They're worse off than Buffalo. They're just horrible when it comes to goaltending.
Ooh, Carl, high praise for Johnson over there in Buffalo.
Much, much better than what's going on in Calgary right now.
Yeah, they won today, though. They won today.
They won today, but it wasn't because of goaltending.
Nope.
Point is that there's no more backup goaltending. There used to be, you know, Bernier was a backup goaltender who got a starting position. You know, Jones was another backup goaltender that got a starting position. Leonard in Buffalo, who was a backup goaltender.
You know what's going to happen tomorrow. Someone's going to go down, and they will emerge this week, right after you say that. It'll be someone we've never even heard of before.
They're really not going to.
No, it's not going to happen. And like you
only
said,
only St. Louis. St. Louis has a backup, but they're not backups. Both St. Louis' goaltenders are starters.
Yeah,
same thing as Dallas. They're both starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Name one backup that's worthy of a pickup.
I can't think of anybody. Peter Mrazek?
He's not a backup. He's a starter.
No, I mean, that's the thing, too. They've got a good tandem going there. If it wasn't for those guys, they probably would have lost a couple more games, actually.